Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
You keep expectations fairly low, don't you?
No, I keep them realistic, because when you're reaching for a star, you reach for the lowest one you can.
Yeah, because, I mean, you still got a fucking star.
Exactly. I mean, that's your winner. That's your ring.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Go for the highest star? It'll take twice as long, and then still, you'll be like the guy who, you know, got a star.
Exactly. Fuck those overachieving twats.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined by my co-host Napier via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
And joining us right now, after a year hiatus, Pauly Deuceknuckles.
Hello, hello.
It's a celebration. It is our 200th episode.
200! Congratulations!
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND, or WFOD show on Skype. We do have other things planned, other co-hosts that are supposed to be involved that aren't here, one of which is characteristically late, so it's no surprise he's not here. The other one...
We wouldn't want him to be on time, it wouldn't make sense.
Was expecting by now. And actually, the later the better with drunk, because I realized we only had three microphones. One of our microphones died, and I didn't replace it, because I figured, why? Why would I replace microphones, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, nowadays, microphones aren't a thing that are very important.
Yeah, just plug up your phone, use that microphone.
But I will correct that, because I expect that Paul is going to have so much fun tonight reminiscing on our history that he's going to start coming back more. Paul, it's been too long, buddy.
I agree. I'm a different person than the last time I came on.
Oh, yeah?
I can hear it.
How so?
More calm. Are you medicated?
Oh, I'm always medicated. I'm always medicated. Let's be, yeah. No, just, you know.
You're older, a dad now.
Older, a dad.
And now, you know. do you constantly just tell people about being a dad and like share stories about like your kid and all the neat things that? Is it a he?
I do. It is a he.
It is a he.
Yeah, it's a little.
It seems like everybody's having daughters. I'm glad that you're bringing
that
some...
The whole conversation that your wife and you have, if you happen to get out of the house, revolves around your child.
The conversations between me and my wife, yeah,
correct.
They often are.
You're just like a team now that's raising a baby,
yeah.
and that's what you talk about.
Yeah, most of the time, it's just a very small opportunity to do much of anything else. So,
just making sure that that thing doesn't die.
Exactly, and he hasn't died, so I'm doing pretty well.
Well, congratulations!
But I am definitely the one who lets him injure himself more so than my wife. But I feel that's good for him, you know. He'll learn and grow.
Right. So the plan for 200 is, I imagine that a person now that would stumble upon the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program would not start at number one. I think that I can accept now that the majority of people hearing this now probably have not heard all 200 shows.
I haven't, and
I don't know. I know a lot of times when I discover a new podcast, if I like it enough, I will go all the way back and enjoy
Somebody
and embrace
the
entire
the math
catalog.
And multiply 200 by 90. And that's how many minutes it would take you to, it's probably like more than a week. I think it would take like 9 days 24 hours a day to get through our entire back catalog. And so what I thought would be just to go through the entire history of the show and just kind of hit the major points.
Do you have a timeline in front of you?
I do. I have gone through, I have put, I've divided them into 10 episode sections, and I've put the noteworthy things from each of those 10 episode sections. And I just thought that, like, we would kind of do, like, a all-around kind of discussion about, you know, the different things that have happened. And if somebody needs more clarification, if we want to get into the topic a little bit further, we can.
So what we should do is we should pretend that we were going into the freezer to grab that last case of steaks to cook up for the cookout, and we accidentally got locked into the freezer, and now we're going to go over the entire history of WFOD in flashback.
Right, Travis. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to be locked in a freezer. But... Nine days is impressive. Do you think there are, like... military applications for your 9 days of consistent talk time?
Oh, just like play me yelling into a microphone for 9 straight days and see if you can get the terrorists to talk?
Right, and replace the Barney theme.
I don't want to hear about the Bath Buddy anymore!
Right, exactly. I think you should probably try to make some contacts in the government as far as interrogational purposes. I think it'd be great.
So the first 10... were a mess because we were starting it out and back then we didn't have a time slot. And so it was just kind of like when we wanted to record, we would. And we've gotten way more consistent now that we've had a time slot. Actually, we've had a time slot for many years now and we've missed very few weeks. So, Rabbit Poundings did the math. It would be 18,000 minutes. That's 300 hours. That is 12.5 days. So well, if
that'll
you start
break them for
right
sure.
now.
That will break anyone.
It's like nobody's going to do that.
You couldn't sleep for sure. So, yeah.
Right. So in celebrating, I felt like it would be good to lock ourselves. What did Travis say? We're going to lock ourselves in the freezer?
Right. Accidentally, of course. I'm imagining this is the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks sitcom, right, Travis?
That's exactly what it is. Right, it's okay. The retrospective episode, the 200 episodes.
It's the clip show.
It's where the producers didn't really want to like pay someone to write. This is like during the writer's strike. They throw this kind of episode out.
We have 200 episodes worth of stuff. We only have the cast together for a handful of minutes, and we're gonna reminisce about what days gone by.
Grind out an episode.
So the first 10, what would happen is me and Napier would schedule a time, and nothing's really changed. Really, it's kind of funny because then Napier would like call last minute and say, "Hey, I can't come today," and like I had already plugged up the microphones. I was like, "Oh, this is bullshit," and so then I would call Jesse, our friend Jesse, to come fill in for Napier. And so the first 10 were really either me and Napier or me and Jesse. In the first 10, we decided to, you know, invite Jesse to come on all the time and be a co-host. But really, the three of us were only on 2 episodes. And what would happen is...
Really? Now, because see, when I came on the show, you made it sound like Jesse was this, like, driving consistent factor in the early
show. Well, the next 10 were much more regular.
Okay. Oh, this is the first 10, I understand.
The very first 10. And so, you know, then we kind of started getting into a groove with the three of us, and we were having a good time. But in the first 10, I think the noteworthy topics were, of course, the Napier's dildo reclamation project. Napier decided that if he were to win the lottery, he would spend his lottery money to pay a friend of ours that he wasn't very fond of to burn dildos in a field. And he would just, he would purchase the dildos and then he would give the guy a big trash can full of dildos to burn down into melted rubber and then discard of. Oh, no, no, to make them into new dildos.
Yes.
And that would just, he just wanted him to, and it was an ill-conceived plan, I feel. But we were very entertained by it. The other noteworthy topic from the first 10 episodes was Napier's marriage proposal, which I do not believe he followed through with. Napier, do you remember your marriage proposal? What you thought one day when the crazy idea, one day that you would be married, how you would propose to your would-be wife?
I would insert my penis into her and then proceed to empty my bladder.
He wanted to take a full piss in her butt, I believe it was.
Oh, okay. Butt and, piss.
And it would be like a, he drank like a movie theater soda.
A large one, right.
Yeah. That was it. It was a it was
you weren't going to
it was off to
how
a rocky would
she
rocky
know
start.
What that meant?
I guess, you know, after the first 10 seconds of solid spoon going in her, I would assume you'd figure it out.
Well, no, how would you figure out that's a marriage proposal? You then say, like...
No, you just slap her on the ass and tell her, you're my wife now.
But you've claimed her.
Yeah.
With your piss.
With my piss. Which is how the animals do it.
My waste is your waste to become one.
In the next 10, the noteworthy topics, we... created the share mic check running joke, where we had a microphone that was malfunctioning and we decided that the only way we could test the microphone was to sing If I Could Turn Back Time. That was the only way to do it, apparently. It's not really a good joke.
Let's get a glimpse of that. Let's hear a little bit.
Napier, is your microphone working?
If I could turn back time. If I could find a way.
Yeah, it's still not really all that funny.
Nope.
Jesse invented the Hollywood Fantasy League, which we still use now. I was driving a 1994 Chevy Corsica that I had to punch the dashboard in between the ignition and the air conditioner to get the windows to roll down. That was the only way to do it, and that was.
How did you figure that out?
I looked it up online. Apparently, somebody else found out that if you punched the dashboard right underneath the ignition, then your windows, you could roll your windows down. Because my windows stopped rolling down, and that was the only way to fix it. Actually, I should try that on my new car. Because
I know my Mustang. Maybe I need to start punching the
dashboard.
Yeah,
it's like right underneath the dashboard, but like right before, like, you know, the console with the stereo. So you punch right there.
And
your hand starts to hurt. If you do
happens.
It every time you start your car, your hand starts to hurt. You got to build up a tolerance to it. It's going to hurt for a while, Paul. But you just got to learn to live with it.
To be dedicated.
And the debut of Napier Karaoke.
Oh, wow. Napier Karaoke's been around.
What was the first song?
It was If I Could Turn Back Time. And then I think he did Hungry Like the Wolf. I think those are the first two.
Every one of the early ones, absolute dog shit. New ones, way better.
20 through 30, Episode 27 saw the first appearance of Paul. Napier's suicide prevention hotline was in there, where we decided that you have to find another way of making money for the suicide prevention hotline through ad support. And so you had to work in
product placement during your counseling.
During your counseling.
Cheetos.
Don't kill yourself. I don't think you know this, but that blonde chick on Game of Thrones is going to be naked soon. So you don't want to miss that.
You have something to live for. There's a new flavor of Gatorade releasing soon.
I revealed my...
Don't kill yourself. You might want to write a letter to somebody using stamps.com.
And I revealed my ball pit fantasy that I always wanted to... make sweet lovin' in a McDonald's play place ball pit.
That sounds really dirty.
Not with children. I just thought that it would be fun to try to gain traction in a pit of balls.
No,
you
I'm just
can rent those, right?
Yeah, but little kids are dirty, and they're in those balls, and then they're sneezing and coughing, putting their little kid germs everywhere. It's got to be like a cesspit of germs.
30 through 40 was primarily my butthole drama.
There was a lot of butthole drama.
Paul discussed his asexual friend, who turned out to be drunk.
Didn't he just prove that over the course of the show by episode, not having sex with
episode 38 was the premiere of Drunk, and all he did is plug his Twitter. Mike Check, follow Drunkard STL on the Twitters, and then he would just sit there in silence until asked a question, which he would usually answer with yes or no. My favorite story from this era was the story of Paul going to get his STD test.
Ah, yes.
It's a special time in a man's life when you lose your pee hole virginity.
So Paul and several of your friends, you all went together, didn't you?
Well, just me and Tom.
But more people went from the same incident.
We went
incident.
On someone's recommendation. That's usually how these things work. You know, it's like, by the way, you may want to go to the doctor.
And did you go first? Or did Tom go first? Because the other one was in the lobby and heard the screams.
I think Tom went first.
And you heard Tom's screams.
No, Tom heard my screams. No, I was the screamer. I was not prepared.
Because the woman administering the test was not gentle.
No. She grabbed that sucker and just...
She like grabbed it by the shaft?
Oh, she grabbed it like full on... fist on my dick.
I mean, she grabbed it like you put out a bowl of Halloween candy.
She didn't want me pulling away. You know what I'm saying? She did not want, like, yeah. Exactly.
So she gripped it hard.
Right. I was locked in place.
And she jammed a Q-tip?
You ever get, like, a strep throat test?
No.
Really? Like, when you were a kid, you had strep throat, and they stick a swab down your throat, and maybe, like, yeah. It was basically, like, a 6-inch long...
Oh,
cotton swab. Yeah.
And it wasn't a pleasant experience overall.
No, not at all. I mean, it's terrible.
But you guys.
And then, of course, they wouldn't tell me over the phone the results.
So you had to go in. So
which I just assumed they would, if I was good to go, they would just say, hey, you're good to go. But it turns out, even if you're good to go, they make you come in and sweat for 20 minutes in the lobby. I think it's part of like a scare tactic
scared
to
straight,
make sure,
yeah.
Like, hey, you don't want to fucking have to do this again.
Right.
Like, fucking wrap that shit up, buddy. Fucking, you know.
Do you think that the gal, she could sense your confidence going in there, and she, like, wanted to strip that from you? Like, maybe, I mean, you carry a certain amount
Swagger.
And she was like, this cocky son of a bitch, I'm going to show him, and she grabbed it.
No, I honestly think it's one of those things where, like...
You're in my sandbox now, Buster.
With the amount of intense pain that was happening at the time, you would want to back away. So the grip had to be so secure at the base. You know, it had to be at the base.
Oh, she got your root?
Right, she got at the base of it. She was... That you would not dare try to pull away, or she'll rip your dick off. So
and also, when she's administering these tests every day, all day long, she probably just wants to get it over with. So she's just like, here, grab it, shove it down, done, get out of here.
And come on now, let's be honest. Once you've worked in a job for so long, you have zero empathy and sympathy for the people who are running into problems. She's like, well, you should have been out there fucking. You're like, God damn it, it's another son of a bitch. He's been out there fucking, and he comes in here all fucking pissed. And, yeah,
do you
right.
think that she's probably freaky in the sack, or do you think that she just doesn't have sex?
Yeah.
Like, do you think she just, like, doesn't care about dicks anymore?
At first, like, when I was younger and I wanted to be a doctor and things, I was like, you know, you don't want... it'd be great to be, like, the, you know, an OBGYN, but...
It would not.
No. Now that, like, I hate jobs...
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, no, you would definitely not want to do that once you came home.
Travis, you never had a STD test?
No.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's what I figure too. Nobody that I've ever been with has ever showed any kind of symptoms, so we're good to go.
So you just, nobody ever said they had anything, so you assume you didn't get anything from them?
Yep. And I must also say that I've never in my life used a condom, so.
Why would you?
You must not be fucking the same kind of skank broads I was.
Why would you? Because, like, you know when you're about to be done, that's when you pull it out and,
exactly.
and you shoot it somewhere else.
So you don't go to the clinic. It's not about the babies. It's about the diseases.
Nah, not worried about it.
There's pills for the babies.
40 through 50 had some highlights. Napier went to the butterfly house.
It was gorgeous.
That was pretty great when Napier was enthusiastically telling me about all the pretty butterflies that he saw. We also invented our penis game show, where you earned rewards, but risked damage to your penis.
I don't remember this.
That almost sounds like a credit card rewards program.
So like you could put your dick in we were coming up with a whole bunch of scenarios, but I believe you put your penis in like a vice or something, and then like you answer trivia questions, and like every trivia question you get wrong, they like spin it three times. And you can win $1 million, or your dick can get crushed. I'd watch that show. I would. Put your penis in peril. That's entertaining to me. You just imagine all the faces the guys make. You know, the fear and
the anguish.
There's a lot to that. There's high drama in the penis.
Do they
game
have
show.
The option to like opt out? They should. That way, you know, do you risk further damage to your penis? Do you call it quits now?
So Mike would watch this show. Maybe he should be administering these STD tests to men.
Right. I mean, it would be essentially the same thing.
Right? we talked about. Starting a male phone sex line where we had guys call us and like we helped them jerk off by talking sexy to them, and then we wondered if that was gay or not. I imagine it isn't. I mean, you talk a guy off. I mean, you're just reading a script. That's not gay. We also created a Plenty of Fish profile with Drunk. And you know what we
that
did?
That was that long ago?
This was a long
Have
time
you checked
ago.
It?
We haven't checked
he
it
could
again
be
since we.
Up
I pet. Know. Think of all the poon Drunk could have came
He's
if we followed
so
up on
by.
Any of our bits. 50 through 60 had my Blink 182 ticket story where I won.
Oh, that was a good one.
Tickets to Blink 182 on the radio. I went and picked them up, and the guy I was going to go with canceled on me, so I tried to sell them on Craigslist for $20. The girl that was going to pick the tickets up. I gave her the directions to my work. A woman showed up at my work and said she was not the woman who was going to buy the tickets. However, she did see our email exchange and was going to wait for her to arrive and grab her and take her to drug rehab.
Well, Blink 182 sure does have some good fans.
Napier revealed that he is a rabbit pounder. He pounds hard and fast. We also talked about the story of how Paul met his wife.
Which was glorious.
Yeah, and you were talking about measuring your anal capacity, basically.
The first time Paul met his wife, Napier walked up to the two of them while they were conversing and talked about how he was going to jam a ruler up his ass to measure his anal depth.
Because of the fucking I was receiving at work.
And she stuck around. God bless her.
We also learned that Drunk was his high school mascot. Paul talked about sex robots a great deal. There was a trend there for like a really long time where every week Paul had like sex robot news.
That should be a segment. Whenever I come back, I'll bring sex robot news.
It was the debut of Napier's Sexy Storytime for the Ladies.
Which was also awesome.
And July 2nd, 2012 was our live debut. So, and let's not forget Paul's New Year's video.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
The tragedy. My parents had recently divorced, and my mom had just introduced us to her new boyfriend, who had a very nice video camera. And so it's like... I don't know. There was some reason we were gathering. I forget the reason. My memory is mostly of the tragic events that then ensued. So I say, hey, can I bring this video camera to a party? We're going to record, you know, a bunch of fun stuff.
And he wants to be the cool stepdad. He wants to be, you know.
You know, I, He's still around. Like, he's a good guy. I think he's just a stoner. He smokes a lot of weed. Sure, you know, take the video camera. Here's a tape. And so we record stuff all night long. And at the end of the night, as we're all, like, trying to, like, you know, fall asleep in the living room, basically. There's probably, like, 15 people, you know, 15 of my closest friends. And we watch the whole video. And, of course, our recorded footage ends. And then there is what we've recorded over is my mom's sex tape with her new boyfriend. And so now my mom's sex tape is playing.
It fizzed out of our footage from New Year's and then came back in with Paul's mom. I believe she was receiving cunnilingus.
Yes. Martin was going to town. Downtown.
On your mom.
On my mom.
And so a room with the majority of Paul's friend is gathered around to ring in the New Year's and watch Paul's mom.
Yeah, I don't think it was New Year's, but she was ringing something in.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Mike, we're now joined by a special guest.
Hello.
Jesse.
What's going on, Mike?
Not a lot, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're recapping the last 200 episodes, and we're in the 40s and 50s, so you missed the part where you were there.
Well, I was there, so I don't need to recap it.
Jesse, now, I'm remembering back to that time, and I know that you were filling in for Napier when Napier wasn't coming, and then we were doing the show with the three of us, and then I would ask you for a while, and then you wouldn't ever come anymore. Did we do something to upset you?
No, not at all.
You just realized it wasn't a worthwhile venture?
I knew that going into it, Mike. That's nothing new. No, I don't know. I just got busy with other stuff. I think, honestly, I started writing for Fangraphs, like, right about then. And then that was like, well, all of a sudden, now I have to, like, write a weekly thing. And do, like, baseball research on a schedule, and so my time just kind of got sucked up.
So you don't hate Napier? See, because all these years, he hasn't had closure, and so it's good that
you're here. I love Napier. I like Napier more than I like you.
That is definitely not true.
Oh, yeah. I'm a good friend.
So going back to that time, the big story, I think, from Jesse's reign as co-host of the show was the fuck me in the shit story, which I guess me calling it the fuck me in the shit story kind of kills the punchline of the story.
Yeah, that was
but I don't know any other way to tell Jesse, hey, Jesse, do you remember the fuck me in the shit story, than to call it the fuck me in the shit story. If I just said, hey, Jesse, you remember that one story, he wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. I don't think I've probably told it since then. That was, when you brought it up, I hadn't even thought about that in years.
When I brought it up just now?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it in years. I mean, there's not a lot of days that something like fuck me in the shit just comes up.
Should he tell the story now?
I want to hear the fuck, our listeners want to hear the fuck me in the shit story.
All right, I'll see what I can remember. First of all, it wasn't me. It was like a guy we knew in college briefly. Like he hung out like two or three times, and he told us a story about he was in this frat, and when they would have frat parties at this house, they would put on like rubber sheets on the beds so that if any guys got any action, like it was just kind of all good. Like there's no. You wouldn't worry about banging some dude's bed or something because they just had, like, removable sheets.
So there was no hesitation to have sex on someone else's bed because it was just rubber sheets.
Yeah, that's a random detail. That's not even that pertinent to the story. But anyway, so this guy finds some girl, starts hooking up with her. Something happens in which they pull out some sex toys, one of which being a butt plug, and she uses it on him. And then,
so she just had a butt plug like in her purse, just in case something crazy happened.
Hey, if that's
out of the frat house depository of.
Oh, they have just sex toys.
Yeah, just they have a case
there in case.
Yeah. There's a hidden room.
I guess if this is a frat that puts rubber sheets on the bed, they probably have a dildo box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no shortage of butt plugs in this situation, I'm sure. yeah. So they things start getting pretty intimate, and at some point, she pulls it out of him. Presumably as a sexy maneuver of some kind, but instead he just craps the bed. He just shits all over the place. Now,
is that a sexy maneuver? I've never been into the butt dildos and stuff. I mean, is pulling it out, that's a good thing?
I think you'd have to eventually.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, but that's not like, you know, part of the fun though, right? Is like you pull it out and then you jam it back in there.
Yeah, like Killer Instinct.
Well,
I don't even know what that means.
You never played Killer Instinct,
I mean,
as a kid.
I know Killer Instinct.
I don't know what that has to do with butt dildos.
Right, what that has to do with fully pulling out the butt dildo before
it's
reinserting it.
It's a button mashing adventure.
Are you saying it's like a combo breaker?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry that Napier interrupted you, Jesse. Did he go away?
I think he left. Wow, we embarrassed him already.
He was hurt that you interrupted his butt dildo story, and he left.
Well then, guess we did it again.
All right, Jesse. See you in another couple years, buddy.
See you in 2 years when you forget why you left. We'll remind you. What was that, 5 minutes?
Oh, right, now I remember.
Oh, so guys, where were we?
Okay, so Paul's mom was getting her sniz ate out.
Yeah, great.
And then
great.
I was
awesome
feeling bad.
Segue, Napier.
And then I was feeling bad that we weren't better friends. And go.
60 through 70 introduced the Andrew Ferris theme song, which we can't really use anymore because it has a website on it that we don't use anymore. I should contact him and see if he'll re-record it for us.
You probably need another $5.
We created the exercise sex toys, the sex toys that you could not.
So anyway, saying he does not, but still the idea that was somehow a turn.
What the fuck? Is Jesse still telling the story? Like,
I think so. I don't think he can hear us.
Travis, are you there?
Nope.
I think Travis and Jesse are telling the fuck me in the shit story in a whole separate conversation.
Oh, God, they're not getting any feedback. It's got to be really awkward. Like, all of his jokes are failing.
You asked me to tell the story.
Okay, who the fuck are you assholes to sit there and snicker behind your breath?
We went and did Mark Bland's program. That was fun. The Mark Bland.
The Mark Bland.
We also talked extensively about the Mark Bland because we enjoyed the Mark Bland.
Well, anytime you talk about the Mark Bland will know.
Paul came up with the plan to start doing outgoing phone sex, like cold calling phone sex.
I still think
you call somebody and like just try to entice them into giving you a credit card number by like talking sexy to them. You know,
oh, you'd make money doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you start calling. I mean, like if they call you and ask you if you like want lawn service or if you want to change, you know, your cable provider, why can't you call and try to solicit phone sex?
Yeah, just give them
makes sense to me.
Yeah, just give them like a free minute, 30 seconds, and then after, you know, they start getting a little hard, like, okay, well, now it's going to be credit card time.
We also dived deep into the investigation as to why in all cartoons children live with their uncles and aunts and not their parents.
Because they're all dead.
Between 70 and 80, Paul created the game show Dead Chick versus Live Animal.
I created that game show?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We debuted Ask Dr. Napier.
Was it a hit?
Made huge ratings in Japan.
See, I mean, okay, Dead Chick, Live Animal. You got it. You got to, okay. So you say, like, Angelina Jolie died a month ago or a deer.
Oh, like which would you rather have sex with?
Yeah.
How many ticks are on each?
I think it'd be better if it was like pictures. You know, what is this?
We also had the debut of What's in Drunk's Mouth. Wow, a lot came from those few episodes. What's in Drunk's Mouth? Asked Dr. Napier. Drunk's Online Dating Adventure. That was the Smashing on the Concrete story. Mike's Bath Buddy.
Wow, we've gone downhill since then.
And the Disability Wolf Unit. Do you remember the Disability Wolf Unit, Napier?
No, I don't.
I created a unit of wolves that would chase down people who were claiming disability to see if they were really disabled. Because if you're really disabled...
you're going to take the fuck off.
And then say, ha! Gotcha!
And if they get 8, well, I don't have to pay out.
80 through 90, we discovered that Napier only takes baths. He does not take showers. Played the April Fool's joke where we convinced everyone that Drunk was not real and that Paul was doing the Drunk character.
That was a smashing success.
And Drunk was not thrilled with that.
Simply because so many people actually believe that Drunk is a character, not an actual person.
And I told the story about my senior prom, which somebody brought up the other day. And
did
a
someone
lot of people,
fuck your date?
A lot of people don't remember the story of my senior prom, you guys.
It was a great prom, from what I remember.
It was not a great prom. I was dumped at my senior prom by the girl that I dated through most of high school. She decided for us to dress fancy and go to a public place and buy corsages and stuff for each other. And then she requested a song from the DJ so that she could break up with me to a song. And it was a Hanson song.
Well, at least she didn't like the band.
Yeah. She didn't ruin a song for me, thank God.
What if she would have put on your favorite
song? But she went to the DJ and she said, "Hey, DJ, I'm about to break up with my boyfriend that I've been with for, you know, a pretty long time. Can you play this song? Because I have a speech prepared, and I also want to sing lyrics from the song while I'm breaking up with him." So
she had this, like, she had to time out her speech. She's like, okay.
She timed it out.
Once the song starts, I have to start the first sentence within, like, 10
she
seconds.
More than likely prepared it.
She practiced.
Like, yeah, she practiced quite a bit so that she got it right.
So it would be perfect.
Do you think the DJ gave her his number, like, when she said that she was breaking up with her boyfriend?
I don't know. So I spent the majority of my senior prom sitting in a corner being all sad while everybody else was having fun.
You should have been out smashing.
Yeah. Well, you should have been happy. At least you knew that she was crazy. I mean, who the fuck breaks up to a goddamn Hanson song? And
see,
then
this
mouths the lyrics
this
to it.
This song's just bringing me back.
Do you got the chokes up?
I do, a little bit, yeah. It's pretty sad. It's tragic stuff.
Was that the broad that gave you the blowjob out in front of my house?
No, that wasn't. That was the girl I dated after her.
She sounds so way cooler.
So, I mean, Napier's shower was busted. When we were in high school. Is it still busted?
Yep.
So you just take baths?
Yep.
And that's been going on for how long?
Better part of a decade and a half. If not more. A shower
it shouldn't
is like
be
a...
that hard to replace the shower.
It probably isn't.
But see, the thing about it is...
Longer to take a bath? You have to, like, draw your bath?
Napier has 6 pairs of goalie pads now, Paul. I'm not telling a fella how to spend his money. But Napier has 6 pairs of goalie pads and only 2 legs. And he's been taking baths for 15 years.
Well, baths don't make you styling out on the ice.
See, that's part of this, is I want updates on some of these things. And, like, you know, if anything has been resolved. So the shower is still broke.
Oh, yeah.
At that time, we were given a show that went on before us called The Side Project.
Were they the pedophiles?
With Jim and Leck. They were a libertarian.
They were the pedophiles!
That did the hour before us. And I told Paul when they started that he had to be nice to them for 5 weeks. Just so that we could establish a friendship with them and let them know that we're not that bad. Week six, Paul refers to them immediately as the pedophiles that came on before us. For no, and so this fella is listening to our show, which I don't know why he was doing, but he was. He tuned in after his show was off and listened to us for a while. And he's just heard Paul call him a pedophile. So he calls in and kind of like gave some credence to what Paul said.
I wasn't like completely full of shit. Like that does, you know.
He was defending that not all libertarians are pedophiles, just some of them.
Well, I'm sure in any group,
so
yeah.
We had a legitimate discussion about this thing that I thought Paul just made up, but apparently there's a lot of pedophiles who...
No, I'm just a libertarian, man.
Who are pedophiles.
I don't...
And so now,
I think he was trying to be nice.
They were very nice to us. Those are good guys. I don't know if
I doubt either of them themselves are actually pedophiles.
I don't know if that show's still going on. We kind of fell out of touch when they moved to Saturdays, but those were good guys. We enjoyed being on after them. And Paul called him a pedophile, and he didn't.
And within seconds of mentioning the show quote that was on before us, I called him a pedophile again just now.
So between 90 and 100, that's when Paul left. And he's only been back a couple of times since. We started working on winning the Rocking Comedy Shows contest where you could have sex with a porn star. We decided that we wanted to win that for Paul's asexual friend, Drunk. We ended up winning the contest.
Handedly.
Amazing.
Just handedly won that thing.
In that time, we were also named the Red Show's Podcast Wars champion, which we appreciated them doing. And episode 100, that was probably one of the better shows that we've done. It's certainly better than this pile of shit.
Well, it's not, our 100 wasn't a clip show.
Yeah, yeah. So then in 100 to 110, we learned that Drunk had a weird penis.
What was exactly the celebration for 100? Did you have a celebration?
We did a whole bunch of stuff. It was a whole deal. We had a bunch of callers. I don't know what's going on with
it. It's decided to update. It's no big deal. It's a good time.
I don't know what to do with it. It says not to turn it off, so I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Cool. You're at 30%, so it'll be done in like an hour and a half.
We find out Drunk had a weird penis. A Catman Paul debuted.
Catman Paul, easily one of the
best. Just a pretty little catty.
I got a cat, and Paul really liked the cat.
The cat was a complete shit.
The cat was an asshole, but every week Paul would show up, and he would like talk baby talk to the cat. And that was a beloved character, the Catman Paul character. I mean, Paul, I hate to put you on the spot, but I mean, can you like do the Catman voice for, that's the only reason Lisa showed up.
Well, I did just a little already, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you have like two things to say and you just say them.
You just say kitty.
Oh, look at the kitty. It's just such a pretty kitty. Hi, kitty. Hi. Just bring the kitty on the trips with you in the little car. And you just say hi.
That's it. That was the brilliance of Paul.
See, someone needs to write a script, and then I can just use the voice to say whatever, you know, you want me to.
Radio Fubar was attacked by Syrians. We had a good time with that.
It was actually attacked?
The server was...
Did you take
was,
up arms in defense?
They, like, stole the passwords or something and, like, made it redirect to, like, a Syrian site or something. It was a good time. And the drunk dating game that we created, and then Drunk didn't show up to. So that was a good time.
Now, what was the drunk dating game?
We we put Drunk up against two other suitors, and then we had a female, like, ask them questions and then determine who was the best bachelor. It was like bachelor number one, bachelor number two, and bachelor number three. We were just trying to get Drunk used to, you know, because we thought he was going to go to Vegas and bang that porn star.
Did you know that Drunk has a lady friend now?
Are you shitting me?
No.
How medicated
is
she?
Oh, show is canceled. Let's hear about this.
Yeah, Drunk, turns out, not asexual, likes the ladies.
Drunk is banging a gal?
I mean, I imagine they're banging.
You know, how long has this been going on?
You know, weeks and weeks.
How have we not heard about this yet?
Well, he ain't here.
Right. I guess because, you know, he doesn't come on the show anymore.
Is she passable?
She's lovely. You know, she's wonderful.
Nice gal?
Yeah.
Has she seen his spotted dick?
I imagine. I mean, I haven't asked, but she, you know, she's a heavy drinker. He's a heavy drinker. I imagine they've bumped uglies a few times.
I think we have Travis back. Travis, are you back?
I am back.
Hi, Travis. Amazing. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
What is going on, Mike?
Were you bonding with Jesse?
I was not. We both were trying to get a hold of you, and then he tried to get a hold of you, and then I've been not in contact with him for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. You're on my phone now because something's going wrong with the Skype computer.
Okay.
I guess next on the list would be Napier's children's book, The Wheelbarrow Full of Dreams. It involved donkeys rolling down a hill in a wheelbarrow. I never drew the illustrations for that and released that, but I imagine it would be big.
I think, just the title is amazing, so.
That's a coffee table book, as far as I'm concerned.
Hello?
Jesse!
Yeah?
You're back!
Well, yeah. We're back.
Where did you go?
I don't know. Everything just went to shit. Can you tell us how the fuck me in the shit story is?
Okay, so there's a college dude. He's got ass blasting out of him.
He just shit himself.
She pulled the dildo out, and he shit all over the place.
Yep. And then that's basically it. Then she says, fuck me in the shit.
You know, the like 20-minute gap does take a little bit away from it, but I still laughed.
Not quite the same.
Maybe you could, for the podcast, you could edit.
Yeah, I'll just put it back in.
Yeah, put it back together.
We also had the terrible idea to have a full day of Twitter promoting to have people guess which letter was the most prominent in a can of alphabet soup.
If I remember correctly, I won that, and then you shut the contest down.
Well, I think whoever won picked O.
It was me. I picked O. That was before we had a lot of contact. I said O. I obviously was the winner.
Because it was Spaghetti-O alphabet soup. And so, of course, the most prominent letter in a can of Spaghetti-O. I bought 3 cans because I wanted a good test group of the soup. And I sorted through. I got out 26 disposable shot glasses and set them on the table. And I dig through 3 cans of Spaghetti-O soup to divide up the letters. And that was what
I be punished? Why should I be punished for gaming the system? I knew what the fuck was happening. And I won fair and square, but you canceled the contest halfway.
Well, what was the prize? I guess, you win, Travis.
Recognition, I guess. I don't know.
You win. What do you want me to tell you?
That's it. That's all. I've been waiting for that for over a year.
It was way more than a year.
Just bragging rights. Yeah, it's like a year and a half.
I soon after that, the Keith David drop that we still use when Keith David became our announcer.
And our best friend.
Napier had raccoons in his attic, which he still did. I think all of the Napier stories are still ongoing. Like, things with Napier never really end.
Did I tell the story of the guy who drowned raccoons when he had a raccoon problem?
How did he drown them?
So he, in water. Same kind of thing. He has an ongoing raccoon problem, and like every week he's coming into work telling about his new raccoon adventures. And so he finally catches the raccoons, and he calls in like a cage, and he calls animal control, and they say, well, you know, we can come by and get them, but we're just going to take them and drown them. So you can, you know, you can just drown them if you want. That's what we do. And so the guy's like, all right, well, I won't, you know, make you guys come out here if you're just going to drown the raccoons. So he decides the best way to do this is to put the raccoon cage in like a trash can, and then just like fill the trash can with water. So it turns out though the trash can was not like deep enough. So he's this is terrible. I can't keep a straight face. But so like he fills it all the way up, but the raccoon has just enough room to like grab on to the grating with like both hands and like keep his snout out of the water. So he's like, I don't know what to do. I can't drown the raccoon. So
he just just put a weight on the top of the cage.
He starts pouring water into the little snout that's trying to breathe. And so he ends up successfully drowning the raccoon.
He felt bad.
For the next month, he was like not the same at work. Like he was a changed man. And so, as a close friend to him, close work friend, understood. So every day I would reset his password to like raccoon killer, and I would make him log in with these passwords that would just remind him that he fucking brutally drowned this raccoon.
You should call this guy Napier. Maybe he can help you.
Obviously, he's got no fucking soul anymore.
he was so sad for a long time. I don't know why it's so funny. But he laughed as he told the story, but then he would get this like sad look in his eyes.
Oh, like he just realized what he did.
Another big topic on the store, on the show at that time, which Jesse was witness to, this will be the first time that there was an eyewitness to the event.
Oh, I can't wait.
Was when I wore my shirt as pants.
That's true. I can verify.
I did. I successfully made my shirt pants.
How'd your dick stay out of the neck hole?
No, see, it did its job. It didn't do it well, but it did what it needed to do.
So you had a shit and piss spout?
Did you play well that night or not?
Not particularly. I was kind of concerned about the neck and arm areas that was hanging out of my dick hole. Like the dick hole.
Can't say if it says more about the stretchiness of the shirt or the size of your little chicken legs.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was great. I'm self-conscious. And I mean, although the shirt is pants, you know, it worked in a pinch. It's not something that I think I would do regularly. I mean, I'll tell you, if you find yourself with two shirts and no pants, it's something that you can do. But
I noticed we killed the chat with Paul's drowning of a raccoon story. Maybe we shouldn't laugh so hard at that.
Everyone was like, oh my god, these guys are terrible.
Oh, now I feel like a shithead.
So, yeah, that was at that time I tried to fire drunk, and then when that didn't work, I tried to kill drunk, and when that didn't work, I accepted that drunk was here to stay. I had read a story about somebody who died from drinking too much grape soda. And so I immediately went and bought a 3 liter of grape soda and challenged drunk to drink the whole thing in an hour, which he pretty much did, I believe. He got really close to finishing the whole thing.
That turns your poop like neon green.
That
drinking
is
all
great.
That grape soda?
Grape soda? Oh, yeah.
Drunky G visited the show for one episode and urged us all not to to get rid of our social security numbers and just get tax IDs, which I believe are just your social security. I think my tax ID is just my social security number, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess the people who don't want their socials
we
don't
did
really
an episode strictly about celebrities' dicks, how big their dicks are.
Who won that?
I was on the celebrity big dick episodes. Or,
we tried to convince Drunk.
What was your alter ego mic name, you know, during that?
We tried to convince Drunk to have sex with a Hot Pocket, which he agreed to do, but then when we set it all up for him, he didn't show up.
Oh, kind of like tonight.
We also won the Wicked Radio Network's Best Non-WRN Podcast Award.
I slept through that award show in Las Vegas.
You were at the... Were you on the show at that time?
No, I wasn't on this show, no.
Napier interviewed Rihanna. We decided that we were never going to get a celebrity interview, so we just started making our own celebrity interviews. And I cut a whole bunch of clips of Rihanna, and then Napier interviewed her. Travis debuted.
I like how during the episode 200, you're like, you know, peeling back the curtain or whatnot.
To tell them that wasn't real.
Well, yeah, I'm sure no one knew.
They thought we really had Rihanna on the show.
Pretty flawlessly.
Travis debuted at that time, so.
Oh, it's the coming of the golden age.
And then two episodes later, we interviewed Sausage, a contestant on Ink Master, and we talked to him for the whole hour. And
so, was that a celebrity interview?
I think so. Right?
He's
that
on
was,
TV,
and that was where we first started second guessing Napier's catchphrase.
Yeah,
Napier. Yeah, Napier at the time ended every episode with "See you in hell, faggots."
It was, we just mused about it. We didn't cut it off at that point.
And probably
we
should have.
We're kind of like, I think our guest was uncomfortable with that. we had Sniffles the Dolphin.
Was this before or after Steve Martin?
Steve Martin was a while ago.
Okay, so this was the first celebrity.
Somebody told us that you could trip off of putting chapstick on your eyelids, and so
Beezin.
So we had Drunk put chapstick on his eyelids, and I don't think it worked, did it?
Nope.
No.
He doesn't really have his eyes all the way open anyway, so probably not a good test subject.
Napier announced that he was planning to get married on a Monday morning in a dog park. We created Doppelbangers, the website that would be dedicated to porno stars who look like celebrities.
And I think the sad follow-up, and I think we discussed it before, that perfect Anna Kendrick doppelbanger has since quit the pornographic industry.
Oh, did she
quit? Yeah, she did.
That's a shame. Did she put out like a lot of content before she quit? Or did she just try it a couple of times?
No, not enough to appease me for the coming years. I mean, it's been done. It's over.
And I will tell you another thing, guys, and this is a follow-up story. On July 4th of 2014, I started the campaign to get just a dedicated flavor of Cheez-Its, the burnt Cheez-Its flavor. Where you know when you get a box of Cheez-Its, how you dig through them and find the ones with the burnt corners?
Well, you eventually find them, yeah.
Yeah, but there's not that many in a box. And I'll tell you what. Now they have that. It exists. A year later, we got it done, guys.
What? Those aren't even good.
I bought three boxes of them. They're in my pantry now, and I'm so fucking psyched. And I'd like to think that I contributed in a way.
Are they everything you ever imagined?
They're pretty great. Like before, and you know, the thing is, I think that over time, it won't mean as much. Like, you know, because when you get a box of Cheez-Its and you dig
Does
through,
that mean you don't
and you
get
find
any
like
regular
those,
box anymore?
Those three or four in there, I mean, they're special. But like, if you have a whole box of them, do you think they're just not special anymore?
Well, Mike, what I think you need to do is I think you need to sign one of the boxes, write the episode number and a timestamp on there, and then put it in like a trophy case.
The day you won.
You beat Cheez-Its, Mike. Don't take that for granted.
Don't you think, I wouldn't call it beating Cheez-Its. I'd say helping Cheez-Its. Because they should know. They should.
Pushing them into the future?
Right. And you know, I feel as though I helped Wendy's, too.
Do you think Wendy's appreciated when they found out what WFOD stood for?
I don't think they did. The kid who got scared at the beginning of Jurassic Park on the show?
You mean Freddy Krueger's kid from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5, Dream Child?
One and the same, Travis. One and the same. We played Rat Scat Bingo, and the rat did not scat. Napier, is that rat dead?
Nope.
It's still alive?
Yep.
What's its name?
The Right Reverend Coconut.
Is it in the atrium still? Is it still in an aquarium of some sort?
No, he's in a dedicated mouse hut.
Did you go buy it specifically for him?
Yeah.
But is it like on your floor or is it like enclosed?
It's enclosed.
So were you there? You weren't there for that.
I wasn't there.
I decided that we would take a whole day and get people to pick numbers on a bingo card. And then throughout the show, the mouse was going to run around on the bingo card and shit. And then whoever's number got shit on won. And then I was just going to, take the mouse to the park and let it go.
That's how you end up with dead mice, Mike.
And Napier got a leash, took it home, and called it...
And Napier wouldn't let me take it to the park and let it go, so he kept it, and now he still has it. That was, a year ago.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty chubby now.
You feed him good?
Yeah.
So he had a way better life than I intended.
You mean one that lasted longer than a week?
Wheelbarrow Bull helping people.
We got him a little spinning wheel. He gets on there, kind of does his thing, and then gets tripped up and falls out of it.
We started writing our Semen Love musical. We started writing Dolphin Earth, which is basically just Planet of the Apes only with dolphins. It's a neighbor threw a can of peas at my house.
The follow up to we started writing was we immediately stopped writing.
Well, why did a neighbor throw a can of peas at your house?
I don't know. We were just sitting in our living room. It was late at night. We were watching television, and we heard this loud thud on our back door. We live in a split level, so we have a deck, and something really loudly hit our door. And I went and looked out the back window, and there was a can of peas rolling around on my deck. Somebody had thrown a can of peas at my house.
Did you eat the peas?
I could have made that a lot shorter story and just said, hands up, don't shoot.
This was before that.
Well, it was around the same time. I think it was a little bit brewing. Before. But you mean the civil unrest.
The civil unrest, exactly.
Yeah, that would have been a wonderful time to be on the show, huh? I bet I missed some gold there. I wasn't here to represent, as the local representative.
And then, guys, since then, we found out Travis was addicted to Mafia Wars. We interviewed Steven Seagulls and Dan Peraro and Kurt Metzger and Todd Glass. And, we got mad at gift cards. We did a serial parody. We had Sean White and Chris Hansen, and we introduced Madame Hulse. And it's been a hell of a ride, is what I'm... What I'm getting at in general.
Did you ask Chris Hansen about the drinking game?
I did not, Jesse. I apologize.
Ah, damn it.
Explain to me the Chris Hansen drinking game.
So when Catch a Predator was on, it also made for the best drinking game ever, in which, I don't remember all the rules, but you had to drink anytime he quoted the chat log, which is a good one. You had to drink for every 100 miles the man drove. So he drove over 400 miles. So that would be four drinks. You had to drink for every item he brought with him. So if a guy shows up with, a box of condoms and a six pack, that counts for seven drinks. I'm trying to think what else.
So the box of condom is one drink, but the six drinks is six drinks.
Tough to determine how many condoms were in the box, so, they're kind of small.
So like a 12-pack of wine coolers and one condom would be 13 drinks.
13 drinks. It gets fuzzy pretty quick. But
I'm getting a lot of flack in the chat room because we didn't bring up our beef with...
Pod beef?
Our pod beef.
We have since become vegetarians.
Yeah, we don't
have no beef.
We don't have pod beef anymore, and that show doesn't even exist anymore. So.
Pod veg.
So you win?
So we win, right?
Winners!
I mean, here we are.
Fuck you guys!
And where are they, Paul? Fucking they've been erased
in a ditch
from
somewhere.
The internet.
Well, they haven't been. Our beef episodes are still up.
Yeah, they're still there.
They live on through you, Mike.
So I think that this whole show was just like, hey, these are all inside jokes that you'll only half get.
But, because you didn't listen to all the episodes.
But there's some good stuff in there, guys.
Yeah, Paul's friend drowned a raccoon. It was great.
So, Paul, you don't listen to the show anymore, do you?
No, I went back and listened to some. You know, I've listened to bits and pieces.
Jesse, have you ever listened to the show again since you were on it?
Maybe once.
Fair enough.
I listened to it a lot right after I stopped.
But you guys listen to podcasts, right?
Well,
yep, they're specialized podcasts.
I hang out with you, so it's kind of like listening to the podcast when I hang out with you.
But Napier's not there.
I wish he was there more often.
Well, maybe I should be.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesse, you remember a couple of months ago? It was longer than a couple of months ago, but it was a while ago when we went and saw X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And the plan was that me, you, and Napier were going to go see X-Men Days of Future Past.
I think that was the Waterhead episode of this show.
Was there Waterheads?
I believe that you told a long story about how there was a theater full of Waterheads.
Oh, that's right. Me and Jesse went and saw X-Men Days of Future Past with a theater full of Waterheads. They were wearing helmets and stuff.
That's true.
Are Waterheads the same as, like, Bubbleheads?
They're slow fellas. So we go and we see this movie, and Napier texts me, like, 10 minutes after the movie started and said, sorry, I'm late. I guess I'll just come next time. Which, I mean, you hadn't left the house yet, right?
No.
It's not like you got halfway there and decided not to come. You never left the house.
No, I was pretty much there.
And then you decided to turn around and go back home?
Oh, yeah. I felt bad, so I left.
That's not true. You were sitting at home on your...
No.
There are enough previews that you could leave your house at the scheduled movie time and you would get there by the start of the movie.
So
I know, but I felt bad.
I think that he forgot that that's what he did last time. Either that or he's just way too lazy to come up with a new thing. So he just did the same thing. He he texted us as the movie was starting and said, sorry.
This is Jurassic World. You've got to tell them we went.
Oh yeah, me and we went and saw Jurassic World.
Yeah,
and
is it shit?
You know, it was. I mean, it was kind of dumb, but like you expect it to be kind of dumb.
Did Matthew Charles make many valid points?
Well, he didn't really give me like the play by play. What I can tell you, I'm going to tell you a couple things about Jurassic World here. It's kind of dumb. And the thing that irritated me the most about Jurassic World, more than anything else, and this is not a major spoiler, it's not a plot point at all. At one point in the movie, the main gal, the redheaded gal, she predicts that somebody is going to drop a cup of soda off of their desk and scoots the trash can over with her foot so that when he spills the drink, it goes in the trash can. And that is the thing that bothered me the most about the movie.
Wasn't the CGI dinosaurs that looked like shit?
I don't think they looked all that bad.
They looked okay sometimes looked pretty bad. Mike, here's mine. My Jurassic World beef is like, how many times did someone's like cell phone not work?
It seems like cell phones don't work a lot when they need to work.
Then just at the first scene, have be like, oh, you know what?
We don't get good reception here.
Bad here, and no one should try it.
Right.
But instead, every time someone's about to get in trouble, they try to call and they start cutting out. And that is just lazy writing.
Just set that in a time before cell phones.
Yeah, I think that is the only thing they can do now. Because, like, back in the day, when there weren't cell phones, things could happen and you couldn't just pick up a phone and call somebody. And now they still want to do those same things, But of course, everyone has a cell phone, so now they just can't work.
The
so
cell
that they
phone
can
not
keep
working
doing
has,
the same things.
The cell phone not working has taken the place of the car not starting.
Have you watched Star Trek's the shows? You know.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the transporter. You can't have it work and have like real plots because everything would just be solved by calling someone on your phone or transporting the people out of the situation.
Here's my other thing about Jurassic World as I was thinking about it afterwards. So in like one of the first scenes, again, this is not a spoiler, but one of the guys is wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt and they all make a big deal out of, well, it's kind of tasteless, don't you think? Jurassic Park t-shirt.
People died.
People died, you know, and he's like, oh, I just got a shirt. And they redesigned the logo. The park is still called Jurassic World.
And it has the same logo. They just made it blue.
Same except blue.
Well, they had all those t-shirts left over from when they made that shitty third movie that nobody was going to buy.
But what I don't understand is, okay, no, without spoiling anything for you guys, you know that things don't go according to plan. And the dinosaurs, they escape and they eat people. I don't think I'm spoiling anything telling you that that's going to happen. Now, how are they going to just keep making these movies? Like, is somebody going to say, oh, no, guys, for real? We definitely...
just pulling in. Here's what they got to do. This would be the best thing ever.
We definitely got it figured out this time.
They have to... they got to do one where everything goes right. Like, every, like, fourth movie, you have to have a Jurassic Park movie that there's no drama at all. Like, the park just goes great. Everyone has a good time. And it's like the most boring movie ever, but you have to throw one of those in every once in a while.
No way. Holy shit. I just got the sequel. It's just like National Lampoon's Vacation, where the family is trying to get cross country to go to Jurassic Park. But when they get there, it's closed and the dinosaur out front should have told them that.
Is it okay if I have one major spoiler that just really bothered me about Jurassic World? Are you guys going to be mad at me?
Nope.
Yeah.
You are?
Well, you spoiled the fucking It Follows movie, so you might as well spoil this one for me, too.
I'm sorry. I won't spoil it.
No, go ahead.
I'll wait until you see it.
No, I really don't care. I have no interest in seeing Jurassic World.
Travis, the movie ends. You know they make a special hybrid dinosaur, and it escapes.
Of course they did. That's in the preview
You know that.
You guys made a dinosaur? That's a bad idea.
Okay, so this dinosaur runs wild. And he just causes all kinds of trouble.
As they tend to do.
Do you know what their solution was, Travis?
Bazooka.
Do you know what their solution to get rid of this dinosaur was?
Bigger
dinosaur.
Shoot him in the head.
They let the T-Rex out to fight it.
Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
But here's the problem. Okay, the T-Rex... He fought the other dinosaur and took care of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you got a T-Rex loose. How does that solve anything?
Didn't it just go to sleep like Godzilla did last year when they used that solution?
No! It walked around Jurassic World roaring and shit because it's a goddamn T-Rex.
You would have been really funny?
You think you and the T-Rex are friends now? You're not! Now you got a T-Rex loose. Way to go!
Would have been funnier if the big one had fucked the T-Rex. And then they made hybrid babies.
I agree. That'd be good. This is why I like Napier more than you, Mike.
Because he comes up with solutions. And yeah, that's how you make the next Jurassic World.
Yeah, you just pan over to some eggs that fell out of the T-Rex.
And now there's a whole bunch of them, and these can fly. And then you just start making Godzilla movies. Guys! I watched Napier's clinking ice. That was important. Thank you, Napier. I watched a couple episodes of that David Duchovny show where he's trying to catch Charlie Manson. Nobody else has watched that at all, have they?
Nope.
Now, Charles Manson is a guy that exists.
Yep.
And I think this is like a fictitious world where a real dude exists. But the real dude... I don't think does any of the things that Charles Manson did. Like, in the first episode, he rapes his lawyer. His male lawyer, he tracks him down in the parking garage, and he rapes his butthole. And in the second episode, the lawyer comes over to Charles Manson's house and, like, makes out with him. And, like, I guess he liked the rape, and so now they're boyfriends.
So he's just trying to get a discount?
And so, like, I Googled it, and I was trying to find some kind of historical evidence that Charles Manson was a male rapist, or that he had a romantic relationship with his male lawyer. And I don't think that evidence exists. I think it's just made up. So why would you make up this story? I mean, why would you make the character Charles Manson if it's like just some dude who rapes dudes?
Well, he's
Do you think that Charles Manson is like he sees the show? I mean, it's on like a regular broadcast channel. They probably have that in jail. He goes, "Wait a minute, I don't rape dudes."
But he probably does now, you know.
Well, do you think that they decided to elaborate on the storyline so they didn't have to pay Charles Manson royalties for like his actual life story?
They named the character Charles Manson.
You could do that.
Oh, it's like the small dick defense in writing.
But like that's all they play up in the show. It's like, oh, it's the summer of love and it's Charles Manson.
See, if Charles Manson sued them and said, "Hey,
I don't
this
rape
story,
dudes."
Well, he could say, "Well, this story is about me. You should give me money." And they would say, "Okay, did you rape a dude?" And he goes, "No, of course I didn't rape a dude." Well, then the story's not about you.
Yeah, as long as they tag
it
with...
I don't think that's how it works, though.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I think it is. And if they tag it with, this is not really based on people, or it's all, you know, non-factual events, then he's probably pretty solid. He probably has no case.
Yeah, let's say you have somebody you don't like, and so you write a book, you use their name, but you also constantly refer to the person as having a 2-inch dick.
Didn't Tony Twist win a lawsuit about claiming that Todd McFarlane made his bad guy named Tony Twist?
Yes.
I remember that. Todd McFarlane has been the subject of many lawsuits over his career.
Yes. But this is something different. If you take a character, base it off a real person, and then make something like either stupidly exaggerated or just a bold-faced lie, that person can't sue you for royalties because you can always say, "Hey, Charles Manson, do you have a 2-inch dick? Because I refer to Charles Manson, the guy with the 2-inch dick." And
it's a common name. We're talking about the other Charles Manson.
Yeah, and he said, "No, of course I don't have a 2-inch dick." Well, then it's not about you.
Well, guys, thanks everybody for coming and doing this. It was fun. Jesse, definitely, you should come back sometime when we're not doing a recap episode and just do a show with us.
All right.
And Paul and Travis, you should come back sometime too.
I can come back.
But we are joined by Beardy and the Beast, who is coming on directly after us. Hi, Matt, Melanie, how are you guys?
Good, and congratulations on 200 episodes.
Thanks, buddy. What are you guys on?
What are we on?
Season 3, episode 5. I think like
season 3. What season is this of ours, Napier?
You know, we're not calling
Season 1, Mike. Season 1, episode 200.
Do we start a new season every time a co-host leaves?
Yep.
every time we, like, take a break, season. We come back and lose count, so we start a new season.
Yeah, we're like Doctor... We're like Mr. Who. Every time you get a new Mr. Who, it's a new season.
I was really hoping that Drunk would show up so that I could drill him about this girlfriend of his. I'm pretty excited about that.
Probably heard you and left.
You think?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we need to, like, get Drunk on the phone or something so that we can talk to him about this girlfriend of his. This is big news. Now what are we going to do with Drunk? That takes a lot of our Drunk material out.
What, just because he's got a girlfriend, we can't stuff stuff into him?
What can we expect on Beardy and the Beast tonight, fellas?
Oh, boy, I think we're going to talk about some P. Diddy.
P. Diddy?
Yeah, because that crazy fucker.
Oh, no.
What did he do?
What did P. Diddy do?
He beat up one of his son's college football coaches.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's P. Diddy. I mean, come on.
But it's National No Panty Day.
Yay, no panties!
I didn't wear panties all day.
Yeah.
I did. And a local baseball team has a Caucasian Heritage Night. And so we talk about that.
Oh, what are you going to talk about the team that handed out all those white ponchos?
Yep.
Well, guys, we look forward to that. I just want to say a couple thank yous, and then we'll be off your air. Thank you to you guys. I appreciate doing the show before you guys do your show. The handoffs every week are fun. You guys are our friends.
The handies are fantastic.
Well, of course. Do you see these knuckles? Like paintball rounds.
So, of course, Napier, thank you for doing the show with me every week. Well, most weeks, yeah. I appreciate you continuing to put up with me. I know that I can be a bit of a dick sometimes.
Oh, don't worry. I'm a dick, too.
I want to thank all of the other shows that helped us out with our bits and our other things and our Strange Label family and all of our past and present co-hosts, Paul, Jesse, Travis, and Drunk. Thank you guys for all that you've contributed over the years. I hope that we can keep this thing going. Let's do at least 5 more.
I can commit to 2.
Well, that's a start.
I vote for 500.
500, and then we're calling it quits.
Yes.
All right.
We gotta be 100 more than the goddamn Spartans. 200 more. Who gives a shit?
So we'll be back next week. We'll do a normal show then. This was kind of just like a look back. This was more for us than you, so... Yeah. Bye, everybody.
See you in heaven.
So, I guess that wraps her up, huh?
Yep, that's our hour. Our hour of awesome.
Do you have parting words or anything like that?
What about that little clip?
Which clip?
From Tombstone.
I don't think I have that anymore.
Oh, well, fuck.
Well, I mean, you didn't mute everything.
Well, I got it there.
Oh, no, I do have it.
Yeah.
All right, parting words. Maybe this should just be our parting words every week. What do you think?
I think that'd be awesome.
Until next week.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
314-266-9363 is our comment line. Follow us on Twitter at WFODix. Email us at WFODix@live.com. Dix with an S, bitches. That's plural, fuck.
More than one dick, motherfucker.
Hells yeah.
Hells yeah.
Call us, fuckface.
Yeah.
Do it, faggot.
Also remember that anything that you send us can be read or played on the podcast. So don't give us your social security number, fucking retard.
Peace.